Good afternoon, CRTV's afternoon edition with Doris Batitatoekwe. In our top stories, the Sawa people and the Dwellers are today celebrating the 110th anniversary of the assassination of emblematic figures who fought for Cameroon's independence during the colonial era. The lives of Rudolph Dwella Mangabell and Adolphe Ngoso Dean are in the spotlight. Prospects to increase investments in Cameroon's road infrastructure by Saudi Arabia have been discussed during an audience between the Minister of Public Works and a diplomat from that Arab country. Out of Cameroon, Kamel Madouri is the new Tunisian Prime Minister. He replaces Ahmed Hashani, sacked Wednesday by President Kais Saied for the poor management of a crisis linked to water and electricity outages in many parts of the country. And in sports, Cameroon's under 20 women football team have intensified preparations ahead of this year's FIFA World Cup in that category to begin from August 31 to September 22 in Colombia. The news bulletin is up next.
CRTV's afternoon bulletin with Gladys Tata. The Saudi Arabian government has pledged to support Cameroon in sponsoring road construction projects via the Saudi Development Fund. Khalid Al-Munir, chargé d'affaires at the Saudi Arabia Embassy in Yaoundé, made the declaration shortly after an audience with Public Works Minister Emmanuel Nganou Jumesi. So far, Saudi Arabia has invested in road construction projects in some parts of the northern regions and southwest regions of the country. Transport Minister Emmanuel Jean-Ernest Masenangale Bibehe says systematic will be carried out on major highways of the country in order to educate road users learn transport ethics. The minister conducted an inspection visit to the Yaoundé Bafoussam Highway this morning with the aim to check traffic offences such as overspeeding, non-respect of overtaking and failure to put on seat belts by drivers and commuters. He says any travel agency found guilty of any of these offences will be liable to punishment. The efforts are part of a road safety campaign which started on June 4th and will end on September 30, 2024. The Minister of Public Health, Manauda Malashi, has paid a courtesy visit to the Dwella Reference Hospital, where he had an exchange with medical staff and some patients on how the medical facility functions on a daily basis. Accompanied by the board chair of the hospital, Professor Elvis Ngolengole, and Littoral Governor Samuel Dedone Ivahadiboa, the minister also visited the hemodialysis and oncology units as well. The Marine Marchand this Thursday played host to celebrations marking the 110th edition of the assassination of Rudolph Dwella Mangabell and Adolphe Ngoso Dean. During the ceremony, some traditional rites were performed by custodians of the Sawa culture, followed by the laying of a wreath on the spot where these martyrs were killed. Littoral Governor Samuel Dedone Ivahadiboa, the King of Bell Clan, His Royal Majesty Ebombo Dwella Manga, and the president of the Ngoso Dean Foundation wished that the site serves as a museum of repression and the fight for freedom. The caravan later moved to the Njonjo Cemetery to lay wreaths on the graves of these martyrs. Stakeholders in the basic education sector are in Yaoundé to brainstorm on strategies to ensure a hitch-free and serene back to school on September 2, 2024. The two-day conclave, which involves central and devolved services, will equally assess the 2024 school year and the digital transformation of education. Basic Education Minister Professor Laurent Serge Tundingua presided over the opening. The remains of the late Inspector General of the Army, Vice Admiral Ngwangale Guillaume, were coffined this morning at the morgue of the Yaoundé Referral Hospital. The removal was marked by a brief church service attended by the Minister Delegate at the Presidency in charge of Defence, former Prime Minister, His Excellency Philemon Yang, government ministers, top military officers, plus elite of the South region led by Professor Jacques Famdongo, Minister of State, Minister of Higher Education. The late Vice Admiral will be laid to rest in his native Lolodov Ocean Division on Saturday. The General Delegation of National Security has equally paid final military honors to late retired Police Commissioner Chubanga Sapier, who died last June 30, 2024. The ceremony that took place today at the campus of the National Police School in Yaoundé was chaired by the Regional Delegate for National Security of the Central Region, Police Commissioner Osomu Josue. It brought together hundreds of mourners who described the deceased as a rigorous officer who diligently served the nation. And we take you out of the country, where Tunisian President Kais Saied has dismissed Prime Minister Ahmed Ashani and replaced him with Kamel Madouri. His dismissal comes amid discontent with regular water and electricity crises in most parts of the country. Few hours before he was sacked, Kais said in a video message that government had made progress in a number of issues despite global challenges. He became prime minister in August last year. And in sports, players and staff of the under 20 women national football team of Cameroon have intensified preparations at the CAF Center of Excellence in Bankomo ahead of this year's FIFA World Cup to take place in Colombia. 30 players selected by the head coach of the team, Hassan Bala, are taking part in the fourth training camp, which is the last in the country ahead of their departure to Bogota, Colombia, for the tournament that begins on August 31st. Cameroon will compete in that event in Group A alongside hosts Colombia, Australia, and Mexico. And that's the bulletin.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
CRT this afternoon edition.
We set the pace. CRTV's afternoon edition.
Connecting people.
And you're welcome back. The Speaker of the National Assembly, the Right Honorable Kavayege Jibril, has offered some 300 tons of red millet to the population of some six villages in the Tokumbere subdivision of the Mayo Sava division in the far north. This is to help the local population have food to eat while waiting for their crops to mature. Amos Enonyakedagbo with the details.
A large crowd of the population from some six villages in the Tokumbere subdivision at the residence of the President of the National Assembly, Right Honorable Kava Yege Jibril, to receive their own share of manna from above in the form of red millet. The Speaker of the National Assembly has made available some 300 tons of red millet to the local population expected to help them have food on their table while waiting for their food crops to mature. This is an age-old tradition that has been ongoing for over 30 years of the Speaker of the National Assembly, who is also the traditional ruler of Mada in the Tokumbere subdivision. Red millet is a very important cereal for the locals, as it is considered as a basic food item. Full of praises and gratitude to the benefactor, the local population prayed for longevity of life and good health of the President of the National Assembly, Right Honorable Kava Yege Jibril. Tokumbere, Amos Enonyaket Agbo, CRTV News.
And on to one of our lead stories. The Sawa people have requested that the Marine Marchand ceremonial ground be transformed into a museum of repression and a fight for freedom. This was during the celebration of the 110th edition of the assassination of Rudolf Douala Mangabel and Adolphe Ngossoudine this Thursday, the 8th of August, at the Marine Marchand Ceremonial Ground. The celebration was marked by the performance of traditional rites and the laying of wreaths by the governor of the littoral region, Samuel Dieudonné Vahadibois, accompanied by the king of the Bell clan, His Royal Highness Jean-Yves Ebumbu Douala Mangabel. The sounds and colors of the ceremony with our reporter Rabiatu Jingi Abdulaziz.
110 years after the assassination of Rudolf Douala Mangabel and Adolphe Ngossoudine, the Marine Marchand Ceremonial Ground assembled a good number of Cameroonians and Germans for some traditional rituals and the laying of a wreath by the governor of the littoral region, Samuel Jordani Vahadiboa, on the spot where the two martyrs were assassinated. This year's celebration of Tetekumbo is dedicated to all Cameroonian heroes who lost their lives during the German colonial rule. During the different speeches, His Royal Highness Jean-Yves Ebumbu Douala Mangabel and the president of the Adolf Ngosodin Foundation, Toto Mukwo, reminded everyone that history is written daily, so it is necessary to dedicate the Marine Marchand Place as a museum of repression and the fight for freedom. The occasion also showcased the cultural prowess as the streets of Bonanjo vibrated with dances from other regions, as His Royal Highness Jean-Yves Ebumbu Douala Mangabel led the caravan to the royal vault where some rituals were carried out. The same rituals were performed at the Njonjo Cemetery, where a wreath was laid on the monument of Adolf Ngosodin and the grave of Risha Dinamanga. Rabiatu Jingi Abdulaziz, CRTV News, Douala.
For over a century, the Douala people have solemnly observed the Tetekumbo to honor their hero, Rudolf Douala Mangabel. This year marks a historic shift as the event extends its embrace to include the broader Douala community. Sali Ebenyanyoki explores the significance of this change.
This 110th anniversary of Tetekumbo has been a historic milestone. Traditionally, it's always been a solemn affair confined to the Dwellers, but this year's commemoration is a melting pot of cultures, a testament to the city's cosmopolitan spirit and the promotion of living together. The decision to include other communities in Tetekumbo is a significant step towards fostering unity and inclusivity in Douala. By sharing the story of Douala Mangabel with other communities, the Douala people aim to deepen appreciation for their heroes' sacrifices and inspire a shared sense of patriotism. Moreover, it's an opportunity to bridge cultural divides and strengthen the social fabric of the city. As Douala continues to evolve, it's imperative to preserve and promote its rich culture. By involving other communities in Tetekumbo, the event becomes more than just a commemoration. It transforms into a platform for intercultural dialogue and understanding. It's a recognition that the city's heritage belongs to everyone, regardless of ethnic background. Throughout the week-long activities, we saw diverse crowd gathered to pay tribute to the fallen hero. Traditional Sawa rituals intertwined with cultural expressions from other communities, creating a unique and enriching experience. The event is expected to become a symbol of Douala's unity and resilience, carrying the legacy of Douala Mangabel into a new era.
Sali Ebenyanyoki reporting. The Minister of Public Works, Emmanuel Ngannou Djoumessi, has had an audience with the chargé d'affaires at the Saudi Arabian Embassy in Cameroon, Khaled Al-Monif, with discussions focused on the prospects of the Arab country making more investments in the construction of roads in the country. At the end of his meeting with Minister Ngannou Djoumessi, Khaled Munif said his government, through the Saudi Development Fund, has sponsored road construction projects in the southwest region and the northern parts of the country. He spoke to our reporter, Patience Wingo, in the following excerpt of an interview.
I met His Excellency, the Minister of Public Infrastructure. We've discussed the cooperation between our two countries, especially in infrastructures, and our new cooperation in new projects that will take place in Cameroon, especially in the north places. Mainly, it will be on road infrastructure building that the Saudi Development Fund of Saudi Arabia will implement funding. We have sponsored a lot of projects through the Saudi Development Funds and also other quantities in Saudi Arabia, such as roads in north places, Sour El Dorei, and also in the southwest region in other places.
That was the chargé d'affaires at the Saudi Arabian Embassy in Cameroon, Khaled Al-Munif. The Minister of Basic Education has commended stakeholders following the impressive performance recorded during the 2023-2024 session of official examinations organized by the ministry. Professor Laurent Serge Etunde Ngoa was speaking while opening a two-day consolidation meeting for heads of central and devolved services of his ministry centered on assessing the previous school year and lay out appropriate strategies to ensure a hitch-free 2024-2025 back to school across the country come September the 9th. Our reporter Kelly Eben caught up with the Secretary of State in the Ministry of Basic Education, Dr. Viviana Shiri Kilo, who comes back on the highlights of the conclave.
It's a session during which we evaluate the past year, 2023-2024. We do an introspection of what has happened through that year. We look at our examination results and see whether we did better than the previous year. And of course, this year, we acclaim and congratulate the staff for a wonderful job because the performance was a lot better than last year. We are also looking at the challenges that we faced last year and looking at prospects at dealing with these challenges. We are also making sure that the schools that are in the insecure regions of the extreme north, the northwest, and the southwest get reports that will make us re-evaluate the situation and ensure that many more schools reopened come 2024-2025 start of the academic year. We are also very happy because the theme of this year challenges everybody to make sure that we have citizens that are responsible, citizens that will have quality education, and we are also following up on technological innovations that will make Cameroon stay on the track of our IT innovations in the world today.
That was the Secretary of State in the Ministry of Basic Education, Dr. Viviana Shiri Kilo, speaking there to Kelly Eben. The Minister of Transport, Jean-Ernest Masena Ngale-Bibehe, has conducted a field inspection today on the Yaoundé-Bafoussam stretch to check the state of travel vehicles and the effective use of seat belts. He observed that some buses transporting passengers to various destinations did not respect the legal limit of 75 places. Thus, the minister proceeded with the seizure of the vehicles. The campaign aims to ensure a safe back-to-school period for learners and other road users and will run till the 30th of September 2024. Here now is an excerpt of the Minister of Transport, Jean-Ernest Masena Ngale-Bibehe, selected for us by Aponse Ati.
Today we came here in Ibadan to ensure smooth and accident-free during back to school. We urge the road users to be civic-minded, and we ask them to respect highway code. And all those users who are not respecting this code are going to be seriously sanctioned.
Partners in a project to transform Yaoundé into a safer, more accessible and comfortable metropolis are currently sharing ideas on how it can be executed smoothly. The Green Mobility Project, known by its French acronym as MOVE Yaoundé, was reviewed in Yaoundé today during its first consultative forum. George Mwam has the details.
Experts in urban planning estimate that the population of Yaoundé will reach 4.5 million inhabitants by 2025, and if nothing is done about its current state, commuting will become even more difficult and expensive. It is for this reason that the Ministry of Urban Development and the Yaoundé City Council launched the Yaoundé Green Mobility Project, popularly known as MOVE Yaoundé, aimed at transforming the city into a more accessible and comfortable place to live in.
My name is Rigobert Kilou. I am the project lead of the project MOVE Yaoundé. It's the transformation of the city center of Yaoundé to make it greener and more friendly for pedestrians.
The project is unique in that it was born from the recommendations of the Sustainable Urban Mobility Plan for the city of Yaoundé.
Based on those recommendations, the city of Yaoundé approached different donors to be able to finance the implementation of what was recommended. The biggest impact will be the transformation of the city center because it will be visible.
The expectation is that by the time the Green Mobility Project is completed in 2027, Yaoundé will look as beautiful as other African capital cities.
More security, a better organization of the informal transport sectors. We are aiming to reach also the quality of transport that other cities in Africa have. I can mention, for example, Kigali in Rwanda.
The first phase of the project will see the European Union and other partners inject well over 4.4 billion CFA francs to ease mobility in Yaoundé.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
Officials of the SEMA Commission are meeting in Douala with Directors General of Taxation and Customs, as well as Presidents of Employers Unions of the SEMAC Zone, among others, to chart ways for a more vibrant and productive transborder trade flow with the private sector as the engine. Opening the three-day forum, the President of the SEMAC Commission, Balthazar Engonga Ejo, described the private sector as a catalyst of economic growth and development in the sub-region, adding that his dream is to build a sub-regional market without taxation and customs barriers so as to make it more attractive to investors. Pontianus Lawong reports.
With a transborder trade flow of approximately 3%, the SEMAC sub-region is classified amongst the last in the world. The president of the SEMAC Commission, Balthazar Engonga Ejo, has said a vibrant private sector is the sovereign remedy to turn things around. But representatives of employers' unions, including Celestine Tawamba of the Union of Cameroonian Enterprises, JECAM, says they are faced with numerous challenges. These range from poor transnational road infrastructure, absence of border markets, exorbitant taxes and customs duties, to the sluggish implementation of the free flow of persons and goods agreement adopted by the six SEMAC member states. The Douala Forum is therefore an opportunity for stakeholders to map out strategies towards a better coordination of policies that promote the private sector. In workshops, participants will handle issues relating to taxation and customs policies, financing of the economy, as well as efforts towards promoting the import substitution of raw materials in the SEMAC zone. The dream of the SEMAC Commission, according to its president, Balthazar Engonga Ejo, is to build a sub-regional market free of taxation and customs barriers and to render it more competitive and attractive to investors. Ponsianus Lawong, CRTV News, Douala.
Young girls in the southwest region have been told to stay away from deviant behavior and focus only on activities that can enhance life. The statement was made by different speakers at the start of a project in Limbe to train young girls in life skills and income-generating activities. The project, which is in line with government's policy to fight youth unemployment and juvenile delinquency, is the initiative of the international organization dubbed Street Child of Cameroon. Details with Henry McCauley of CRTV Southwest.
The ongoing crisis is reported to have left many children in the streets of the southwest region. And to redress the problem, the international organization dubbed Street Child of Cameroon argues that there is need to train young people, especially young girls, in income-generating activities. Hence the need for this seminar. Bridget Anne Afor, a Swedish parliamentarian with Cameroonian origin, is one of the trainers.
I'll be training the young girls with skills that is going to financially empower them, because most of them don't even have somebody to rely on. And some of them can go back to school if they wish to.
The 40 girls, who include IDPs and single mothers, say the training is a lifeline.
Street Chai can enable me achieve a trade.
The training will be implemented by the King Black Welfare Association, whose founder director is Nugan Clement Devala.
I put in place the right trainers, the right infrastructure to see that these girls are trained. The government had given us land for the school.
For the country director of Street Child, Dr. Alphonse Tata, everybody's contribution is needed to beat down the number of street children in the country.
The Minister of Social Affairs, the Minister of Women Empowerment and the Family, the Minister of Employment and Vocational Training, and other sectoral ministries need to come to the same table.
Street Child of Cameroon intends to train 200 girls during this first phase of the project. Henry McCauley, CRTV, Buya.
On a rather sad note, the coffining ceremony of the late Inspector General of the Army, Vice Admiral Ngali Guillaume, who passed away in June, has taken place at the Yaoundé General Hospital mortuary. The event was presided over by the Minister Delegate at the Presidency in charge of Defence, Joseph Betia Sommer, today. It was attended by a plethora of dignitaries, as Ngo Henry reports.
The coffining ceremony of the late Inspector General of the Army, Vice Admiral Ngwangali Guillaume, was attended, among others, by top military officials led by the Minister Delegate at the Presidency in charge of Defense, Joseph Betty Asumu, the President of the 79th General Assembly of the United Nations, Philemon Yang, members of government, plus the elite of the South Region, headed by Minister of State, Professor Jacques Famendongo. A brief church service was conducted at the chapel of the Yaoundé General Hospital, officiated by a college of pastors. The mortal remains were taken to the Njongulu Parish of the Église Presbyterian Camerounaise, EPC, for a brief stopover ahead of a vigil at 8 p.m. at the Headquarters Brigade. Military honors will be organized at 10 a.m. Friday for the late Inspector General of the Army, Vice Admiral Ngwangali Guillaume, at the courtyard of the Headquarters Brigade, from where his body will be taken to Lolodof in the Ocean Division of the South Region for burial Saturday.
On the same sad wavelength, tributes have been paid to retired Police Commissioner Chubangasa Pierre, who died last June 30, 2024, at the Yaoundé Central Hospital after an illness. The military honors ceremony in Yaoundé today was supervised by the Regional Delegate of the National Security for the Center Region, Police Commissioner Osomo Josue, who represented the Delegate General for National Security, Colette Jani.
The remains of retired Police Commissioner Chubangasa Pierre were dropped in the Cameroonian flag and carried by his comrades into the ceremonial grounds of the National Advanced Police School in Yaoundé, a demonstration of the country's gratitude to him for faithfully defending Cameroon for over 26 years. Family members, fellow police officers and dignitaries headed by the Regional Delegate of National Security for the Central Region, Police Commissioner Osomo Josue, filed in to pay tribute and say their final goodbyes to a man many terms a pillar in his community. Natalie Choba is his daughter.
That was a man of honor, strength, power. We are going to greatly miss him. But one thing we are going to be sure of is to keep his legacy going on.
Born on the 29th of September 1941, retired Police Commissioner Chubangasa Pierre was admitted to the Cameroon Police Academy in 1970, where upon graduation as a commissioner served in different capacities in the Intelligence and Research Department before his retirement in 1996. Later on, he equally worked with several intelligence special missions in Eastern Europe, the Cameroon Embassy in Lagos, and the United Nations International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda as a permanent investigator. The 83-year-old, who died last June 30, will be buried on August 10, 2024 in his native village, Bandiangsur, in the Ndé Division, West Region of Cameroon.
And in sports, the under-20 women national football team of Cameroon have intensified preparations in their fourth training camp at the CAF Center of Excellence in Bankomo ahead of this year's FIFA World Cup in that category to begin on August 31 in Colombia. Coach Hassan Bala of the Junior Lionesses is working in this fourth training camp with 30 players selected from teams in Cameroon and one from Le Mans in France. Ben Collins knew it very well.
Apart from winger Lamine Mana, who plays for French Division 2 side Le Mans, 29 of the 30 players called to come by coach Hassan Bala are from clubs in Cameroon. 6 are from Amazon Fab, 5 from Authentic Ladies of Douala, 5 from Lekki Football Girls, and 4 from the 2024 top tier champions in Cameroon, FC Ebolova, Cyclones Football Club, AS Fortuna Mfu, Aitambog of Kambe, Ages Sack of Douala and Vision Food Association Academy all have one player each at the fourth training camp at Bankomo. The team is fine-tuning tactics ahead of their maiden participation in the world's biggest football tournament in that category. after the ongoing training camp that will end on August 15 at the CAF Center of Excellence. The players who will be retained in the final list will travel to Bogota in Colombia for acclimatization ahead of the final phase of the FIFA World Cup. The under-20 Lionesses are paired in Group A alongside Colombia, Australia and Mexico. The opening match of the competition will pit the host, Colombia, against Cameroon on the 31st of August 2024 at the Estadio El Campín in Bogota.
To NCRTV's afternoon edition, a reminder of our top stories. The Sawa people and the Dwellers are today celebrating the 110th anniversary of the assassination of emblematic figures who fought for Cameroon's independence during the colonial era. The lives of Rudolph Dwala Mangabel and Adolphe Ngosodin are in the spotlight. Out of Cameroon, Kamel Maduri is a new Tunisian prime minister. He replaces Ahmed Hashani, sacked Wednesday by President Kais Saied for the poor management of a crisis linked to water and electricity outages in many parts of that country. And in sports, Cameroon's under-20 women football team have intensified preparations ahead of this year's FIFA World Cup in that category to begin on August 31 in Colombia. And that's a wrap on today's CRTV's afternoon edition. My name is Doris Batitatoekwe. Thanks for listening. Ariel Olivia Maboy is here in with a summary of the news in French. Good afternoon, Ariel.
Bon après-midi, Doris. Rapport général des rencontres régionales de mise à jour de l'état du réseau routier et de priorisation des interventions dans le cadre de la préparation du budget 2025. Le ministre des Travaux publics, Emmanuel Nganoundjou-Messi, présidait les travaux ce jeudi à Yaoundé. Il ressort que plus de 10 000 km de routes sont bitumées au Cameroun sur un linéaire de plus de 121 000 km. En éducation, les responsables des services centraux et déconcentrés du ministère de l'Éducation de base sont en conclave à Yaoundé. Les travaux présidés par le ministre Laurent Serge Tundjingwa visent l'élaboration des stratégies appropriées pour assurer une bonne reprise des classes. Campagne de prévention et de sécurité routière, le ministre des Transports Jean-Ernest Massenangale-Bibert était ce matin à Ebebda sur la nationale numéro 4 où il a recensé plus de 200 infractions en moins d'une heure. En santé, le ministre de la Santé publique, Manaouda Malachi, s'est rendu ce matin à l'hôpital général de Douala à l'effet d'évaluer les services rendus aux patients atteints de maladies chroniques et poser la première pierre du bâtiment d'onco-hématologie de cet hôpital. Toujours à Douala, les martyrs de la nation sont honorés au cours du Tete Combo, un événement qui connaît son apothéose ce jeudi sous la présidence du gouverneur du littoral Dieudonné Iva Diboa. En sport, Coupe du monde féminine U20 Colombie 2024, les Lyonnes ont entamé le quatrième stage de préparatoire au centre de l'excellence de la Cafamba en Como où les 30 présélectionnés prennent part. Fin de ce condensé.